Well, bless you. Let's open in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your mercy towards us, Lord. We come tonight to hear what you are saying to us from the Word of God, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at reasons for upholding the King James Bible tonight. So let's look at a few reasons why we should uphold the King James Bible. And the first reason is the purity of the King James Bible. Let's see what the Word of God says about that. Let's look at Psalm 119, verse 140. Psalm 119, verse 140 says, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." And we can see from this scripture that the reason the servant loves the word of God is because of its purity. So that's one thing that we can trust in the King James Bible, is that there's a purity about it. You can compare this with the modern versions. And modern versions, well, for one thing, they can contradict each other, and they also corrupt the meaning of Scripture as well. If you have a look at them, they will corrupt the meaning of Scripture. So we look at the Word of God, the King James Bible, and what it says about itself in this scripture is that we love it as God's servants because it is pure. So God has put his truth into the King James Bible, and because of that, there's no errors in the King James Bible. There's no man-made interpretations put into the King James Bible. So it stands apart from the modern versions in its purity. Let's have a look also at Psalm 12, verse 6. Psalm 12, verse 6 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." So God has told us plainly that his words are pure words. That means they're holy, and there's no sin in them. They're not tainted with the sin of man. They're divine. So the words of the Lord are pure words, inspired words, and pure, without any sin or error, without any contradiction whatsoever. And that's why Christians love the Word of God. It's because of that purity. So his words are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, the Bible says. So it's very pure. And God has promised to preserve his pure words, and that's what the scripture goes on to tell us. In verse 7, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." So God has put his word into the earth. And we have it here in the King James Bible. And God has promised to preserve that. And it will stand forever. God has put it here, and it will stand forever, and it shall not pass away. So one reason for upholding the King James Bible is that it is a book given by the inspiration of God, and it is pure. And it's another reason why we can uphold the King James Bible is that it is thorough. It's got everything God wants to say within it. There's nothing removed and there's nothing added, because it is exactly what God wants to say. And God sees this at this particular point as very important in his eyes. If we have a look in Jeremiah 26, verse 2. Jeremiah 26, Jeremiah 26 verse 2 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word." So God has put his word into the earth, and his commandment is diminish not a word. So don't remove words from the Bible when God has spoken them. And that's God's standard. For example, you can look at the NIV. Now, the NIV is an example of a modern version, and that removes over 64,000 words. The NIV has over 64,000 words removed from it. Now, how does that stand up when God says, diminish not a word? So God is looking for people who are going to cherish his word and to accept it as he has put it in the earth, not to fiddle with it, not to go running off somewhere else looking for it, when he already has it here for us. So that's one example, at the NIV, removing over 64,000 words. Well, let's have a look in Matthew 5, verse 18. Matthew 5 verse 18 says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." And that shows how important God holds his word, and down to the finest detail, God is watching over his word. So right down to those very minute points, God cares about that, because this is a word that he has spoken. So he says, not one jot or one tittle shall pass away till all be fulfilled. And how do the modern versions account for those missing verses? God sees it all as important. We can see there he's been very specific in the scripture to tell us that he cares right down to the jots and tittles of scripture. And we can see further God's heart and mind on the matter if we have a look in the book of Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." So here the warning is clear that people are not to add anything to God's word, nor to take anything away from God's word. So how does that measure up when you have modern versions that are putting verses down in the footnotes and removing them all together? And or you have versions like the Amplified Version where you have lots of additional words put in there. So this is what God's warning is. It's not to add anything nor to take anything away, because God views that as a very serious thing in his sight. So we should uphold the King James Bible, because it's the book God has put here into the earth that is his pure word. And if we look at this point that God has told us not to take anything away, if we look at the NIV again, for example, Do you know it omits a number of verses? And I can tell you some of those verses here now. You will not find in the NIV Matthew 17 verse 21, Matthew 18 verse 11. You will not find Matthew 23 verse 14, or Mark 7 verse 16, or John 5 verse 4, or 1 John 5 7. These are only some examples of what's missing from the NIV. Another example which we can have a look at is Acts 8:37. If you'd like to turn there, you won't find this in the NIV. Acts 8:37 says, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So that was something very important there that Philip was saying to the eunuch, who wanted to know why could he be baptized? What doth hinder me to be baptized, it said in verse 36. And Philip was giving him a clear commandment there of the condition that he needed to meet in order to be baptized, and then he said that confession of belief in Jesus Christ. And the NIV omits that completely. But that verse is showing the importance of belief and obedience to the Lord. And that's something that helps people to understand, this is what I need to do if I want to follow God and obey God. And yet you won't find it in the NIV, and that's one example. There's several other verses as well that are missing from that particular version, and that's just one example. So we should be upholding the King James Bible for its purity and for its thoroughness. And another reason we should be upholding the King James Bible is because of its majesty and its beauty. And it has a quality about it that is very majestic. And a lot of the modern versions, they lack that majesty in their writing. They lack the beauty of the scripture. And if you have a look at Psalm 23, for example, one version in particular that puts the speech into quite a modern day slang really is the Message version. And I'll quote to you some portions of scripture from the Message version if you want to have a look at Psalm 23 in the King James Bible. And we know that a lot of people know Psalm 23. They've heard it and they know how beautiful it is and how poetic it is. And if you have a look at what the Message version does to it, it sounds quite like slang, really. And this is what it says. The Message version. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back at home in the house of God for the rest of my life. And if you look at that in comparison with the King James Bible, it just doesn't measure up to the same level of beauty that's found in the King James Bible. I mean, who mentioned anything about having a six-course dinner in the King James Bible? And yet this is what the Message translation is putting out. Nobody said we don't need a thing. We need lots of things. But the King James Bible doesn't say that. It says, I shall not want. God will meet all our needs. Not, I don't need a thing, which isn't true. So that's one example we can see. And we'll have a look at another example. And this is very, very important teaching, this next verses that we'll look at, very important teaching on how to be born again. If we have a look at John 3, verses 3 and 4. John 3, and we'll read through this. John 3, I'll read it to you from the King James Bible. We'll start out and we'll go through to verse 6. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And verse 7 says, Marvel not that I say unto thee, Ye must be born again. So in this passage, Jesus is explaining to Nicodemus that a person must be born again, and he uses those words born again because they're to the point. They say you must be born again. And then Nicodemus wants to know more about that, and Jesus explains to him water and of the Spirit, born of water, the water of the natural birth of the womb, and of the Spirit. So that means you have to be reborn in the human heart. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless that happens. And Jesus clarifies it and says that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So you can see there, that's very, very concise and very clear explanation there of what needs to happen to a person. But if you look at the message, I'll read out to you these verses from the message. You think to yourself, does this have the same level of clarity? This is starting at verse 3. Jesus said, You're absolutely right. Take it from me. Unless a person is born from above, it's not possible to see what I'm pointing to God's kingdom. How can anyone, said Nicodemus, be born who has already been born and grown up? You can't re-enter your mother's womb and be born again. What are you saying with this born from above talk? Jesus said, You're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to this original creation, the wind hovering over the water creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into a new life, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. When you look at a baby, it's just that. A body you can look at and touch. But the person who takes shape within is formed by something you can't see and touch, the Spirit, and becomes a living spirit. So who followed all that? Did you understand that? No. It's confusing and it's wordy. It's not clear, it's not concise, like the King James Bible. It introduces confusing concepts. What is the wind hovering over the water creation, and why should we submit to it? I don't even know what it is. Yet this is what the Message translation says. The invisible moving the visible. It's very vague. And then it goes on and it's just confusing. It's not clear like the King James Bible. And it introduces an element of disrespect if you read it. Nicodemus saying to Jesus, what are you saying with this born from above talk? It sounds like he's actually being disrespectful to the Lord Jesus Christ, whereas the King James Bible doesn't convey that at all. It conveys a sincerity, wanting to know, what does it mean? So you see there that the Message translation actually changes the meaning and introduces confusion and something hard to understand for people. So this is the difference between the King James Bible and the modern versions. And compared with the King James Bible, it is confusing. So we should be upholding the King James Bible for its purity, its thoroughness, its majesty and its beauty, and it conveys what it wants to say, and it does so in a clear and straightforward manner. And where it is harder to understand, God has made it like that for a reason, because it is spiritually discerned. And if a person is finding something difficult to understand, it's because they need to seek the Lord and the Lord will reveal it to them. It's not because the language in itself is confusing or full of vague concepts. It's because we need to be right with God to actually have this book, the seal taken off this book for us. So another reason we should be upholding the King James Bible is the validity of the King James Bible. And I mentioned before that the King James Bible is error-free. It's consistent. And there's not one contradiction within the King James Bible where one part contradicts another. People have made accusations that the Bible contradicts itself, but those are easily explained. And we have a booklet in Victory Faith Centre explaining so-called contradictions in the King James Bible. There's not one contradiction that you can accurately say that is a true contradiction in the King James Bible. Let's have a look at John 17:17. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." So God has clearly said that his word, the King James Bible, is truth. It's truth because God is true, and there's no deception with God, there's no dishonesty with God, there's no trying to impose his own like sinful men do, who do these modern versions. They impose their own meanings and twisting of scripture. But God is true. He has set it forth for his glory and for man's benefit. So he has no selfish motive in putting forth the word of God. It's for his glory and for our benefit. So God's word is truth. And this is a standard that he has set forth in the King James Bible. Have a look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." So God is against having confusion in the churches. And if you look at all the different versions that people are using today, when you can't even have a congregational reading together, you can't follow along. If I was reading that passage from John 3, that we just read, and somebody else was reading it from the Message, how can you follow along together like that? You wouldn't even be having the same understanding. But this is not God's way, because he said that he is not the author of confusion. So either he set one true Bible in the church or he hasn't. And if he's not the author of confusion, if he's not the author of confusion, then you would logically say there's one word. There's one word for the church, the King James Bible. And you might think, do they really contradict? Do modern versions contradict the King James Bible, for example? Well, yes, they do. One example, we'll have a look at Mark chapter 10, verse 24. And we'll look at the NIV as an example again. If you have a look at Mark 10:24, the scripture says, firstly I'll read it to you out of what the NIV says, and then we'll read the King James Bible. Now the NIV says, Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. How hard it is to enter the kingdom of God." So if you were just listening to that, you'd think it's a hard thing to enter the kingdom of God. But is that what the Bible actually says? Let's have a look at Mark 10:24 in the King James Bible. It says, "And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God?" Not how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God, but how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is hard for people who trust in riches because they're not trusting in Christ as their Saviour. That makes it hard. But it's not hard for people. So we say who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ to enter the kingdom of God. So therefore we can say, is it hard or isn't it? And that's confusing. And if we read the scripture plainly, it says that for them that trust in riches, it's hard. But the NIV has omitted that part completely and changed the meaning of it, which is a confusing thing. Well, let's look at the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 30 and 31. And God answers this question about, is it hard to enter the kingdom of God? Acts 16, verses 30 and 31. I'll start at verse 28. "But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Now, how hard is that? That is just a matter of submission and belief. So the Bible says that all we need to do is believe. That's not a hard thing, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with your heart. But the NIV is telling people that it is hard to enter the kingdom of God. So you see that there's a direct contradiction. So we'll finish there tonight, and there's some of the reasons why we should be upholding the King James Bible are because of its beauty and its thoroughness, its majesty and its validity, and they're only some of the reasons why we need to uphold the King James Bible. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, Lord, for giving us the King James Bible, which is true. Your word is true and it is pure. And that's why we love it. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the word of God, Lord. It's a spiritual book backed with your power. We thank you, Lord, for that. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, that it is a light to our path. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.